as you know, we've been talking about the true gospel, no cap. Everybody say true gospel, no cap. Yeah, you know it. You know, I'm still young, y'all. You know, they be struggling trying to get up from the couch and junk. It's okay. They old. They old. We need to pray for their knees, guys. It's all good. Well, Pastor Sam's, I know his, but bless him. All right, dope. So for the past couple weeks, we've been really, well, Pastor Sam and Pastor Josh, they've had on their heart to really break down the difference between American Christianity and true biblical Christianity. So the first message, we were talking about how the American gospel or American Christianity is me-centered, that it's all about me. It's about what I can get from God, but not what I can give to God. All right, the second week we talked about that this gospel is all about one person. His name is Jesus. All of history from the beginning of time to now is about one man. His name is Jesus. And that this man, Jesus, he's king. And he's not no just average king. He is king of all kings. That he is exalted and he's on the highest throne in the highest heaven. You hear what I'm saying? That there's no one that's above him. Okay? And not only that, we've also learned that same week that man, that this God, this Jesus, that he's, praise God for the cross, right? But he's not that guy anymore. Like, he's not on the cross and he's not in a tomb. He's alive. As I'm talking to you right now, Jesus is alive. And he's sitting on a throne. And guess what? He knows your name. He knows your name. And he sees you right now. Like, right now, as I'm talking to you, he's sitting right in front of you looking at you. He's looking at you. He's looking at you tonight. And then last week, Pastor Sam brought the word, and he was talking about how following Jesus is not comfortable, but it's costly. He talked about last week. This is not just about talking about the gospel, but it's about demonstrating the gospel. Listen, what is this gospel? What are you talking about, Marcel? This gospel is literally, it literally means good news. Everybody say good news. Good news. What is this good news? This good news is this, is that there's a God who has no beginning, who has no end, who is literally outside of time, that our minds, our physical minds can't even wrap around how big he is, that he literally holds the universe in his hand. That this God created all things with one word. That he created all things with a word. And that everything that is the sun, the planets, it all is rotating off of one word he spoke. Right now. And this God created everything and he created you. And that when we were born into this thing called sin. And that God knew it. And see, sin completely separates us from God. And God knew it, and he came. God himself came to the earth and took on your sin, took on your mistakes, took on my mistakes, so that we could be free and we can walk in the true identity and the true purpose on our life. What is that purpose? The Bible says in John 17:3, it says this, this is eternal life, or this is the meaning of life, that I would know God, that I would know him, not just know about him, not just come to church and I sit down. You feel what I'm saying? No, but I can actually know this God who created all things, the same God that knows you. Now check this out. Like I said, this God, he longs for you to know him. He longs for you to know him, and watch this. He longs for you to follow him, to literally walk after him and come after him and literally and let him lead your life. But here's the thing. There's a few things that need to be done before following him. What do you mean, Marcellus? Anybody have a parent or know anybody in the military? That's okay. Well, you know her, right? So check this out. So nobody knows anybody in the military? That's crazy. But check this out. Check this out. When you're in the military, right, before you go sign up, they give you out flyers. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I was in high school, everybody named Mama was trying to hand me a military flyer. I was like, man, ain't nobody going to the military? But look, they hand you a flyer. That flyer is an invitation, okay? They give you the invitation. They give you the little slip. Now, okay, bam, I'm going to sign up for the Army. You know, I'm going in there. I'm in there like swimwear. You feel me? I'm in there, and then I sign the dotted line. I literally sign my life over to the military, okay? Now, check this out. The military, I know back in the day, they didn't care about what you look like. They didn't care about your background. They just wanted you. And I believe that's the same thing with Jesus. That Jesus literally doesn't care about your background. He doesn't care about your hair. He doesn't care about the culture that you come from. Let me tell you something. He loves you just for who you are, and he's waiting for you just to come. But here's the thing. Like in the military, listen, man, you know what? I get in there. I'm in the army, you feel me? But I have to go through this thing called basic training. And basic training is what prepares me for when I go out and I do the very thing that which I signed up for. And this is what we call demonstrating the gospel. Right? So I sign my life over to Jesus, right? But I have to walk this thing out. Okay? So check this out. Tonight I'm reading from Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 22. Yup. All right, so dope. Let me give you some background really quick. So everybody heard of John the Baptist? Who knows John the Baptist? Okay, dope. So John the Baptist, he was literally called to be the very forerunner. Or what do you mean by that, Marcellus? I mean, he came to prepare the way for Jesus to come. So at the beginning of Matthew chapter 4, John gets locked up. He gets locked up, you know what I'm saying? Just for preaching about, you know, God and all this stuff, they lock him up. So the Bible says that Jesus heard about him getting locked up. And Jesus says, okay, it's game time now. So Jesus begins to preach. And this is what he says. Check this out. Starting in verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now Jesus is preaching. He's doing his thing. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, everybody say immediately. They left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them. Everybody say, immediately. They left the boat and their father and followed him. Everybody said, I need. See, there's three needs in order to follow Jesus. Well, while following Jesus, there's three needs. There's three things that we need to do. Everybody say, this is the first one. I need to turn from my ways of living and live by his ways. Let's look at verse 17. Check this out. Bam. All right. It's okay. All right. Verse 17 says this. Oh, there it is. Okay. Verse 17. From the time that Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want to break this down for a little bit. Let me check this out. That Jesus is not just an ordinary preacher. That this is the Son of God. This is the one who has no beginning and who has no end. And this is the first time he's opening up his mouth. What does he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, that word repent means this. To change one's mind or opinion. It means to turn. So what do you mean, Marcellus? It means exactly this. As if I'm living my life, I'm doing my thing. Repent literally means to turn around. Okay? So I want to ask you a question tonight. Is there anything that's in our lives tonight that you need to turn from? Is there anything in our lives tonight that, man, I know that God's not pleased with this? And as I'm talking, I guarantee you some things are popping in your mind. That's God showing you the things that you need to turn from. All right? So what do I need to turn from? The Bible says that we were born, like I said earlier, into this thing called sin. Romans 3:23, look at it. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what does that mean? That I can't avoid it, I can't dodge it, that I literally guaranteed born into this thing called sin. And what does sin bring? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Anybody got a job? Anybody have a part-time job? Anybody help somebody out? No. Okay. Dope. So check this out, guys. When you get there one day. When you work, you get a wage. You'll get paid for it. So the very thing you get paid for sin is death. Now, here's the thing. What do you mean by death, Marcellus? I mean this. Death means to be completely separated from life, and that life is God himself. that life is God himself. So let me tell you something. When we were born into this life, everyone in this room, no matter who you are, we can't run from it. We were born into this thing called sin, separated from God. So we were separated from God. We were separated from the plans and purposes for our lives. So that means our plans before we met Jesus are not our plans, right? So my mind and my opinions are what dictates and governs my life, and that leads me away from God. So check this out. That's why Jesus says, repent, or change the way you think. Change your opinions. Why? Because your opinions and your way you're thinking is leading you away from God. So he says, listen, turn around, turn away from those things. And Marcel says, what do you mean? What am I turning myself to? Listen. He basically is saying this: change your life, turn from the way you live. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? The kingdom of heaven is here right now. So as I'm talking to you right now, the kingdom of heaven is here right now. But check this out. What does he mean by that? Jesus is preaching this to show the arrival of the kingdom within himself. Listen now. So Jesus is saying, listen, repent. Turn from those things. Why? Because everything you've been looking for, the love, the joy, the peace, the freedom, it's found in me. And Jesus is saying that for every one of you in this, every one of us in this room. Listen, turn away from those things. Why? Because you've been longing for so many other things. That's found in me. He loves you tonight. So many of you in this room came in here bound with depression, bound in anxiety. And I'm telling you, the love of God will break it all off. The sin that's in our life, his love will wash it all away. Why? Because he loves you. He really loves you. That he's thinking about you. Do you know that? That he's thinking about you right now. That's how much he loves you. So many times in the sinful life, we were looking for things that only Jesus could give. And we're looking for love, looking for peace, looking for We're looking for freedom. We're looking for all these things. And here comes the Son of God, with love and passion in his eyes, crying out, saying, come to me. Come to me. You've been longing. You've been yearning for this one thing that you were born for, and that's this, to be with me and to be loved by me and to love me. That's the reason why you're here. Is there anything in our lives tonight? This is self-evaluation. I'm not talking about your mom. I'm not talking about your dad. I'm not talking about your little brother, your little sister. I'm talking about you tonight and myself tonight. Is there anything in our lives that we've been leaning on or turning to that's not satisfying? Is there anything tonight, guys? Is there anything tonight? Sorry, guys. This joke will get on my nerves. Is there anything that we're doing tonight, a way that we're living tonight that's not pleasing to God? What do you mean, Marcellus? The gossiping. Watching things we ain't got no business. Okay? Cussing. Being disrespectful to our parents. These all hurt the heart of God. And he loves you. And he gave his life so that we can live a life after him. That we can follow him. See, in order to fully follow Jesus, everybody say, I need to turn from my ways and live after his. I guess that made it some sense. I don't know. All right, listen. My second point tonight is this. Everybody say, I need to let go of my life. Let's look at verses 18 through 20. Let's look at it. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Here's Jesus. And he sees these guys over here. They fishing. Okay? So if you know about the history at this time, see, fishing was the junk. But this is what you had to do to make a living. You feel what I'm saying? I'm not just talking about getting some so you can post a picture on Instagram. I mean, like, they was trying to get paid. So here's these guys. They're out here fishing. They're making a living. Their life income. They're making a living. And Jesus says, follow after me. And immediately, they drop their nets. They leave it all behind to follow after this man, Jesus. I want to look at that same verse in the Amplified Bible. Let's look at it. Verse 19. And he said to them, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher and walking the same path of life that I walk. Check this out. So here's Jesus calling them from their job to be their disciples, and watch this, to accept them as their master. See, the thing we were talking about in this true gospel is that people think that, man, I'm about to be a Christian, but I still get to live my own life. That's the biggest lie in the world. Why? Because Jesus is calling you, why, to be like him. He's calling you tonight to be like him. And watch this, I must submit my life to him and make him my master. See, when he says, make him Lord of your life, that's not saying that, you know, he's my bud I can talk to here and there. No, no, no. He's my master. He's my master. And I'm nothing without him. And I'm his servant. See, many people want to follow Jesus, but don't want to submit their lives to his lordship. He is our master, meaning that our lives are not our own. See, if you're in this room tonight, I'm going to ask you a question. The life that you're living, the life that I was living, I know it, guys. Listen, are we living for him? Are we living for him? Let me tell you, he loves you, and he has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He loves you. And check this out. Me letting go of my life is a requirement to follow Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 16, verses 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, if you want to follow Jesus tonight, this is what you need to do. Watch it. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Marcellus, what am I denying? I'll tell you, your life. Let's look at John 12, 25 and 26. Look at it. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Check this out. That word life there literally means, it's psyche in the Greek, which means this, your soul. Which means this, your mind, your will, and your emotions. What do you mean, Marcellus? Bible, Jesus saying to hate my emotions, hate my, no. What he's saying is, would you trade your life in? Would you trade your will in? Would you trade your mind, the way you think about people, the way you see people, the way you feel about people? Will you trade those in and receive his? Will you trade yours in and receive his? And listen, let me tell you something. I'd be having to do that all the time. People get on my nerves. I'd be like, Jesus, take these feelings away from me. Lord God, give me your feelings, because jokers get on my nerves. I don't know about y'all. Boy, but here's the thing. I must lay down my life. Why? Because it's not mine. I must lay down my life. Why? Because it's not mine. It's not mine to hold. It's not mine to carry. It's Jesus. Jesus longs to, watch this, be the very life that sustains you. He desires and longs to be the life that sustains you. Us trying to live this life without true life, we're dead. Marcellus, man, yo, this is kind of heavy, yo. How do I lay down my life? How do I give up my life? Let me tell you the motivation factor for giving up your life, and that's his love and his mercy. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. He's begging right now. Look at this. To give your bodies to God. Why? Because of all he has done for you. Listen, the King of Glory came to this earth and gave everything up for you. And at least the least thing I can do is literally give him my life. Watch this. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. What? Your bodies. Watch this. The kind he will find acceptable. This is the truly way to worship him. So if I truly want to give him how much he's worth, if I really want to show him how much he's worthy, I will give him my life, my will. My emotions, the way I feel about people, the way I think about people, the way my own desires, I lay them down and receive his. And that's what God is asking tonight. He loves you. That is the motivation factor to give up our lives. Let me tell you something, guys. I was carrying, let me tell you. So my life, let me tell you. I started sweating, started thinking about it. Check this out. So giving up It's not easy. I mean, giving up our lives is not easy. Laying down our lives is not easy. But that's why the Bible says we do it daily. It's not a one thing. It's not a once in a while thing. No, every day I wake up, every day we wake up, we have to say, God, you have my life today. And day after day after day after day after day after day after day, Jesus, you have my life. My life is yours. Use me. Use me, God. Can I tell you something? God desires to use you in your own homes. God desires to use you when you're with your friends or while you're on the phone, when you're on the game, when you're on social media. Other people do. You feel what I'm saying? Listen, check this out. Whenever on YouTube, you know how you be on YouTube, I'll be seeing you. Listen. Oh, bless you. Girl. So check this out. Check this out. Everybody say, I need to let go of my life. That's the second thing that we need to do in order we want to follow Jesus. The third thing is this. Everybody say, I need to leave what is comfortable. Now, this is going to be kind of heavy, guys. Just stay with me, okay? Verses 21 and 22, look at this. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and follow them. Can I give you a little background real quick? So check this out. Like I said earlier, when you're a fisher, when you're a fisherman, at that time, at that place, that was the jump. You feel me? You was doing big things. And not only that, but check this out. James and John were with their father. So some theologians say, man, they were teenagers. They were your age. And imagine you sitting with your parents and a guy comes up to you and says, let's go. The first thing you'll be like, whoa. You feel what I'm saying? Whoa. But here's the thing. That wasn't the first time they met him. They met him before, and John the Baptist was like, I think in John chapter 1. Am I right? I don't know. But listen, Jesus called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father. Can I say something else? That their father had money? Watch this. It says in Mark chapter 1, verses 20, it's the same moment, just in a different book. He called them at once, and they followed them, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. So check this out. Zebedee had money. Zebedee had his own job. You feel me? And not only that, he had his own business, and he had employees. And here's his sons with his dad, like, yo, dad, man, we chilling. See, these kids weren't poor, but they were comfortable. They were comfortable. And here's the thing. Jesus is calling them out from, yo, just think about this for a minute. That man James, I don't want to scare anybody, but that man James literally gave up his life for Jesus in Acts, in the book of Acts. That literally, when you realize who the one is calling you, when you realize that this person is calling me, this all is worth it. It's worthless. Why? Because I just want him. Let me tell you something. I'm going to read that same thing, but in Mark chapter 1, verses 20 in the Amplified. Check this out. Immediately, Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired workers, and they went away to follow him, becoming his disciples, doing what? Believing and trusting him. The reason why we don't step out of our comfort zone or we stay comfortable is because we don't trust him. We don't trust him. We don't trust his love. We don't trust what he sees when he looks at you. We don't trust his word. When he looks at you tonight, he's so in love with you, and he's calling you. Same way he called me, same way he's called Pastor Josh, Pastor Sam, everybody in this room. Listen, he's calling you. But we must leave what's comfortable. What are you talking about as comfortable, Marcellus? I mean this. I mean the group of friends that we're with that we know that's not right. But the reason why I don't want to leave these friends is because I'm afraid I'm not trusting God that when I step out from these friends that he'll give me better ones, ones that will build me up. See, what do you mean, Marcellus? When I follow people on social media, we follow people on social media. Hey, listen, oh, man, they follow me back. Oh, man, I can't unfollow them, bro, because if they don't follow me, they might unfollow me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness, I can't do it. But here's the thing. The reason why is because we don't trust God. And let me tell you something. He's trustworthy. You can trust him. That same God that created all things, that holds everything in the palm of his hand, can hold your heart. He loves you. He cares for you. And here's the thing. And can I get some some keys or something. I'm clean. Albert, okay. Oh, thank you. Got you. Just imagine for a second you're walking through a city. It's the same thing. You're walking through a city. This street right here, man, it has all the lights. It got all the people. They jamming. But then you look over to your left, and you got this street, and it's just dark, and you're like, whoa. You must be outside your mind and think I'm going down that road, right? But check this out. What if Jesus calls you down that road? What if Jesus calls you into that place where nobody's there, where it seems like I'm all alone? The Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. Here's the thing. I can trust him because he's with me. And it doesn't matter where he's calling me out of or what he's calling me into, I know I have him. Do we have him tonight? Marcellus, man, what are you trying to say? I tell you. How could these guys turn from their old lifestyles? How could these guys give up their lives? How could these guys leave what is comfortable? Let me tell you, they heard his voice. They saw those eyes. They saw him for who he really was. They saw how beautiful he was. They saw him walking up and call their name, John, James, Peter, come. What was the thing? They saw him rightly. They saw him for who he really was. Jesus is calling every single last one of us in this room tonight. He's calling us. He's calling us to follow him. But the reason why we don't is because we're afraid. Why? Because we haven't seen him for who he really is. We haven't seen him for how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. And let me tell you something. I don't want you to leave out of these doors bound. I don't want you to leave out of these doors broken anymore. Jesus can heal you. He can set you free. He loves you. It doesn't matter what your friend thinks. It doesn't matter what others think. Let me tell you something. He loves you. He loves you. And he gave his life for you. That's the gospel. This is the true gospel that we were talking about. True gospel, no cap. You feel me? Let me tell you something. Listen, God is so in love with you. He gave his life for you. And the least thing I can do is give my life for him. So I have a few questions tonight. Is there something that you need to turn from? I'm not talking about your mom. I'm not talking about your dad. I'm not talking about your sister. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about you tonight. It's not, man, Marcellus, man, I was raised in church. Man, I was raised in church. Let me tell you something. I was lifting my hands. I desired God. But when I went home, I never changed. Why? Because I never met the man Jesus. And Jesus is here tonight, and he wants you. He longs for you. It's not about a game. It's not a game anymore. Does he have your heart? Does he have your desires? Does he have your will? Does he have your everything? Is he your everything tonight? I know at one time he wasn't mine. And then I met him. I didn't meet a pew. I didn't meet a preacher. I met the Son of God. And he's here for you tonight. Do you want to be free? Are you tired of walking around with chains on your back? Let me tell you something. Jesus can set you free. It's not about what's in your phone. It's not about what people think about you or what they'll say about you. Do you want Jesus tonight? So I have a few things we need to do. Who in here? Ain't no shame in this. Who in here wants to follow Jesus? You say, man, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. So every person in this room, every eyes closed, every head bowed. Matter of fact, everybody stand up for me. Everybody stand up for me. There's no shame. There's none of this, man. Everybody in this room raised their hand and said, you know what, I want to follow Jesus. And tonight we've learned what we needed to do. Tonight we learned what we needed to do. And I'm going to ask you tonight. Thank you, man. And I'm going to ask you tonight. Is there something that you need to turn from? Mistakes, failures. I know, look, we all have them. But you say, Marcellus, man, I need to be forgiven. I don't want to leave this room the same anymore. I don't want to leave this room watching the same thing I've been watching on my phone. I want to be free. Marcellus, I want to be free. I want this broken off of my life. I don't want to be like this anymore. I want Jesus to be in my life. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of doing all the show things. No, I want the real thing. I want Jesus. Is that you tonight? Every eye closed. There's no shame in this room. Listen, there's no shame in this room. God loves you. He loves you. He has a smile on his face tonight. There's no shame in this. So if that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to raise my hand with you. If that's you and you say, man, Marcellus, I want to be in that prayer. Marcellus, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life tonight. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. Thank you. I see you. I see you. And you can put down your hands after you raise them. You say, Marcellus, I'm tired of living bound, Marcellus. I want to be free. I want to meet Jesus. I'll still wait on him. I'll still wait. He loves you. He loves you. Man, we'll get in a minute. All right, check this out. I want everybody to pray with me. Everybody close your eyes. Oh, we're already closed. Lord have mercy. Jesus, I'm all over the place, guys. Everybody repeat after me. You're not talking to nobody else but Jesus. He loves you tonight, and he's right in front of you, looking at you. Everybody say, Jesus. Here I am. Take my life. I need you in my life. I'm tired of living my own life. I need you, Jesus. So right here, right now, I believe that you died for me, but you're not dead anymore. You are alive, and you're on the throne. And right now, Jesus, would you come and sit on the throne of my heart? Take my life, Jesus. So dope. Second thing is this, Marcellus. You know, man, I've been holding on to my life, my plans, my desires. Man, I want to live for Jesus. I don't know about you. I want to live for his plan. His purpose. Why? He's worthy of my life. Is that you? You say, Marcellus, I've been carrying my life. Not only that, Marcellus, I've been living comfortable. And I didn't even get into my notes, but check this out. When you live comfortable, you end up compromising. And what happens is when you end up compromising your walk with Jesus, your heart starts to go cold. Is your heart cold tonight? Do you need a fresh touch from God? He loves you. And I want to pray for you tonight. And not only that, while I was preparing for this message, I felt like God was telling me a couple of things. And I felt like a lot of us in this room have been dealing with depression. I feel like a lot of us in this room have been dealing with anxiety. Like, it feels like chains. And I feel like God gave me the scripture. And it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And it says this, that come to me, all who are weary and carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. He says, I will give you rest for your souls. Are you tired? I know I was. I'm going to invite you to come up really quick. It doesn't matter who you are. There's no shame in this. You say, Marcellus, I want you to pray for me. I want a fresh touch from God. I don't want to be the same as in like, I don't want to be apathetic anymore. I want to actually love Jesus. I want to burn for Jesus. If that's you and you want me to pray for you and if you want God to touch your life, there's no shame. You can actually come up if you want to. The altar is open. If you want to come up, it takes one. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's open, it's open, it's open. I really feel like there's somebody in this room, man. Oh my gosh. You've been dealing with depression. You feel like you're not loved. You feel like you're not worthy. You are worthy. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Depression can't hold you anymore. Depression can't hold you when Jesus smiles at your face. He loves you. All right, a couple more minutes and then we're good. Dope. Dope. So let me pray for these girls and then
Guys, it's 8:30, so I'm going to go ahead and pray and dismiss the room tonight. But I just encourage you guys, number one, I ask you to leave quietly as these guys down here are getting ministered to and getting touched by Jesus. And if you want to stay in the room and hang out, man, and enjoy worship, you can, or just enjoy the presence. That's amazing. But let me pray for you guys and release you guys tonight. Jesus, we bless tonight. Father, we thank you for everything that you said tonight. We thank you for everything that you spoke tonight, Jesus. We thank you that we're taking this word, God. I thank you that it's not just going in one ear and out the other, God, but God, it's sticking in our hearts tonight, Father. So we bless you and we love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. Once again, I ask that we leave quietly tonight and just respect the atmosphere. And hey, listen, if you want prayer and you didn't come up, we're still down here, okay? We want to pray with you tonight. Love you guys.